Hello, and welcome to Leap of Faith Podcast, and I'm Jeremiah, I'm your host today. So, something different happened earlier, and I did post a podcast, but it wasn't our daily podcast. So I told you we'd catch up, and we are. So the last thing I posted was just something that happened. It turned into a prayer, and I didn't even know it was that long. But that's that. So that's its individual thing. I went ahead and posted it. Hopefully, if you didn't get a chance, you don't have to watch it. There's really not much to watch, but it's a good listen. It's a good prayer. I felt it was anyways. So hopefully you take it for what it is. And what I'm going to do is pick up and finish Judges. I didn't get to do that chapter earlier, so I'm going to go ahead and do that now. And then Lorraine's going to pick up starting out the Book of Ruth, which begins with chapter 1, obviously, but she's going to pick that up tomorrow and do chapters 1 and 2 the day and the day after. Then she's going to go on vacation, and I'm going to take over the rest of the week and into next week. So some good times ahead, good times with this recording, and or this podcast, I should say. I was looking at the word recording. So let's finish up Judges, but before we do that, we always pray. I know I've prayed a lot today, but you know, we keep going. So let's go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, what an amazing time I had earlier on the podcast. And it was just such a different feeling. And I pray that was from the Holy Spirit. I pray that that's what you wanted. And I know that you want us to continue with reading every day. That's what we do. That's what we're trying to do, is read your word into the world, Lord. So I pray for those listeners that are continuing with us, was able to take that extra podcast and do what you will with it. And then we're going to pick back up, Lord. And I'm so thankful for this opportunity. I'm so thankful that we are able to read your word openly and publicly, and not have to hide it or read it, you know, in small groups, that we can just blast it to the world, Lord. So we thank you so much for this opportunity and this podcast. And I pray that everyone that gets to listen to it grows that just a little bit more in their relationship with you, and that open conversation, and willing to listen to you and speak back to you. Heavenly Father, thank you most of all for your son who died on the cross for our sins. And what an amazing thing that he did, so that we can come before you in prayer, come to the throne room and speak to you one-on-one with no intermediary needed at all. We could just come straight to you, Heavenly Father. And again, I thank you for all this, and I pray blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So let's go into our verse of the day, which is supposed to be October 27th, but we'll move on from that. And verse 1 in Proverbs, we're doing, you know, 30 days of Proverbs, or 31 days of Proverbs, one verse from each chapter. Today's the 27th. So we'll do verse 1, which is just right out of the way. Don't brag about tomorrow, since you don't know what the day will bring. And I have done that before. Not necessarily a literal tomorrow, but your future. You can have confidence in that, but there's bragging in it, and it doesn't quite work out always. God may have a different plan. Something else comes up. So it's a good verse. Don't brag about tomorrow, since you don't know what the day will bring. Every day something is new. And that's something that I've learned to do, is to try to live in the present, not in the past, which I tend to do, not into the future, which I don't do all that often, but let's live in the present. Today's a gift for each and every one of us. So we're going to go into Judges chapter 21. It's the last book in Judges. And as you know from the previous, I've actually recorded this a couple of times. So God has something for us in that chapter. So we're going to read it and allow the Holy Spirit to work in us. So let's get to that screen, and we'll share the reading. Here we go. Israel provides wives for Benjamin. So we've been talking about Benjamin and what's been going on. So we'll finish out the chapter with that. The Israelites had vowed at Mizpah, "We will never give our daughters in marriage to a man from the tribe of Benjamin." Now the people went to Bethel and sat in the presence of God until evening, weeping loudly and bitterly. "O Lord God of Israel," they cried out, "why has this happened in Israel? Now one of our tribes is missing from Israel." So early the next morning, the people built an altar and presented their burnt offerings and peace offerings on it. They said, "Who among the tribes of Israel did not join us at Mizpah when we held our assembly in the presence of the Lord?" At that time, they had taken a solemn oath in the Lord's presence, vowing that anyone who refused to come would be put to death. The Israelites felt sorry for their brother Benjamin and said, "Today, one of the tribes of Israel has been cut off. How can we find wives for the few who remain, since we have sworn by the Lord not to give them our daughters in marriage?" So they asked, "Who among the tribes of Israel did not join us at Mizpah when we assembled in the presence of the Lord?" And they discovered that no one from Jabesh Gilead had attended the assembly. For after they counted all the people, no one from Jabesh Gilead was present. So the assembly sent 12,000 of their best warriors to Jabesh Gilead with orders to kill everyone there, including women and children. This is what you are to do," they said. "Completely destroy all the males and every woman who is not a virgin." Among the residents of Jabesh Gilead, they found 400 young virgins who had never slept with a man, and they brought them to the camp at Shiloh in the land of Canaan. The Israelite assembly sent a peace delegation to the remaining people of Benjamin who were living at the Rock of Rimmon. Then the men of Benjamin returned to their homes with the 400 women of Jabesh Gilead who had been spared, were given to them as wives. But there were not enough women for all of them. The people felt sorry for Benjamin because the Lord had made the gap among the tribes of Israel. So the eldest of the assembly asked, "How can we find wives for who remains, since the women of the tribe of Benjamin are dead? They must be heirs for the survivors so that the entire tribe of Israel is not wiped out. But we cannot give them our own daughters in marriage because we have sworn with a solemn oath that anyone who does this will fall under God's curse." Then they thought of an annual festival of the Lord held in Shiloh, south of Lebanon and north of Bethel, along the east side of the road that goes from Bethel to Shishim. They told the men of Benjamin who still needed wives, "Go and hide in the vineyards. When you see the young women of Shiloh come out of their dances, rush out from the vineyards, and each of you can take one of them home to the land of Benjamin to be your wife. And when their fathers and brothers come to us to protest, we will tell them, 'Please be sympathetic. Let them have your daughters, for we didn't find wives for all of them when we destroyed Jabesh Gilead. And you are not guilty of breaking the vow since you did not actually give your daughters to them in marriage.'" So the men of Benjamin did as they were told. Each man caught one of the women as she danced in the celebration and carried her off to be his wife. They returned to their own land and they rebuilt their towns and lived in them. Then the people of Israel departed from the tribes and families and they returned to their own homes. In those days, Israel had no king. All the people did whatever they seemed right in their own eyes. All right, so let's kind of go over this here and unpack all of this that happened. So one thing we keep in mind when we're reading here in the first couple of verses is that when you make a vow to God, even now, it's important to keep your word. I mean, that's something that, God keeps his word. And so when we make a vow before men and before God, I mean, that's something to be taken seriously. And this is how seriously the people of Israel took it, is that they knew they had made certain vows and they would be quote unquote cursed if they didn't follow through on them. So they were very, very loyal and did not want to go against the vow they had made against God. So we know that to be true. And so they're trying to find a way to allow the tribe of Benjamin to continue on because, as we know, just reading Heritage and reading the beginning of the Bible and the beginning of the New Testament, the lineage is a very important thing for a lot of people. And for the people of Israel, their lineage was very important to them, and who they came from and what tribe they were a part of, because that's how God identified them. That's how they got their land. And that's how they were assigned to do the things that they were able to do. So this was a problem that they wanted to fix for the tribe of Benjamin. They didn't want people the tribe to lose its heirs, and wanted that tribe to continue on. So this is what they came up with, was, where's the one place that didn't help us in the battle? We were going before God. And so they named this town. And at the time, the leaders thought, well, since they didn't come and fulfill their promise to say, you know, we attack, we go to war together. They sent their best warriors and destroyed the town, and then took the remaining women who were unmarried and virgins, and then allowed them to cohabitate and marry. I don't think cohabitate was the right word, but to marry into the tribe of Benjamin, and to continue that lineage as well, because every tribe was very important and every tribe needed to continue that lineage. So that's what they came up with. So remember, as we read the Bible, we have to read from their perspective. What I find interesting here is in this particular chapter, there wasn't a direction from God, as we've seen in some decisions in the past. This is what they came up with themselves, what they thought was best. And I think there's some things we got to intricate things we got to look at. It wasn't taking a slave. It wasn't forcing these women into sex trafficking. It's not mentioned, but I'm sure there was a way to find compatibility that they can continue living and continue to have a family with these Benjamites. So there's not words that really translate to how they did this. This is why it's just kind of plainly laid out this way. And then there wasn't enough. So they tell the tribe of Benjamin, the remaining men, to go hide out. And then it says here to, what I see in my head is just jump out and take these women that were in the celebration in Shiloh and take them to be their wives. And so I don't think that was actually what happened. They didn't kidnap them. Now, the fathers and brothers didn't give them away, but I really think it was more of go into the celebration with them, hide here, as you see them celebrating, come out, make connections, and then take them back to be your wives. Again, this is not any kind of women are still people, even when you look through their eyes. So this wasn't a way to sell women or get, make sure that men could take whatever woman they want. This is how it's laid out and how it's written. But sometimes, when we say things or write things, it's not the exact thing that happened, but it is what happened. So there's a little context in there that kind of, I think leaves us room to know that, God doesn't like kidnapping. God doesn't ordain the taking of women. So what I see here is more of a, what we do in modern days, we go to a bar and look for a person. We go to a church and look for a person. I didn't go to a bar, but I think people do that, but I don't know why bar comes to mind, but you go to a place to find a mate. So there have been people told me that they met at different places. I'm not advocating going to a bar. But, you go to parties, you go celebrate, you go to celebrations, and you look for a compatible partner, male and female. You both do it. And so it's not a going and taking of people and kidnapping and put you into slavery, but it's we like each other. We're attracted to each other. We have some things in common. We kind of hit it off. Let's go and start a family. So that's really what is coming out of this chapter. Not so bold in that you're going to definitely take these people and and hike them away. And then the last verse here, then the people of Israel departed by tribes and families, and they returned to their own homes. And in verse 25, all the people did whatever seemed right in their own eyes. And I think that's kind of a sticky situation. You know, we're outside of the law now, right? So we don't have to follow the law, but the law is given to kind of measure where our sin is. We're free from the law because of Jesus's death and resurrection. But doing what we see right in our own eyes can be a bit deceiving. You know, depending on the state of mind that we're in, our feelings, what's happening, what's right in our own eyes isn't necessarily what's right in God's eyes. So this is where we can get into a little bit of trouble. And I think we'll see a little bit of that as we move further down the line. And, you know, if they don't stick to the law, if you don't stick to the path that you're on with Christ and with God, you can see your opinions change. And some things can sneak in that don't seem like a big deal, but again, it may not be God's eyes. It's your own eyes. So we have to be very careful of, you know, doing what we say is right in our own eyes. We all have different opinions. We all have different feelings. We all have different experiences. So it's very difficult to say that we should do everything with our own eyes. I think that we really need to stick to the Bible and listen to God's word. And when we become Christians, we get the Holy Spirit in us, and it's not your conscience, but it's almost like that. And, you know, it tunes in and out. There will be moments in our life when we're really listening to God and listening to his voice and the Holy Spirit. And there may be situations that we step away or kind of try to draw distance. And maybe that voice isn't as loud. And I know when I get into depressions and I'm worried about things, my anxiety goes up and I really get depressed, that voice is harder to hear. And so it's a walk, you know, you gotta step back into that voice. You gotta step back into what's right in God's eyes and kind of step away what's right in our own eyes to get back on the right side. And so how do we do that? Well, like today, the prayer I did, I think is a good step in doing that. Meditating with God, talking to God every day, is a very, very good step in moving that relationship forward, in moving in your growing in Christ. But in order to grow in God and grow in Christ, you got to do the first step, and that's committing your life to Christ. You know, where we are in the world today, we're not asked to die for Jesus, right? In America. Rarely are we asked to die for Jesus, but I think a lot of us would take that. And there was a time in Rome where, yeah, speaking out about Jesus, you were going to die for it, which isn't easy. I mean, there were martyrs throughout. There's still martyrs today in China and other countries that don't, you know, and in some very heavy Islamic country that just don't allow the word of God. Those kind of people, yeah, they face death and they will die for Jesus, and God bless them. I think our struggle today is living for Jesus and living our best life for Jesus. That's what we're called to do. And how do we do that? Well, we commit ourselves to Jesus. We take a vow. You know, we accept what Jesus did on the cross was for our personal sin. And then we confess that. And it doesn't matter the words that come out. It doesn't matter what prayer you said. It doesn't matter if you were baptized or not, or follow certain religious steps to become whatever in your church. The first step and the only step that matters is accepting the sacrifice that Jesus did and have belief that he did die for you and that your sins are forgiven and that you commit your life to him. That's what matters. So let's do that. I'll pray it out loud. Again, it's not, you can say the words that I say, but you can say your own words. It's that commitment you're going to make. So let's go, Lord, and we come before you. And here's a perfect opportunity, Lord, to express my love and my belief in you. I believe that there's only one God. And I believe you sent your only son to walk this earth and show us what it is to be a person, to be a man, to be a human. And I know that he was crucified and died on the cross for our sins, personally for our sins, individually, for the sins that we have committed, the sins that we are yet to commit, our sins are forgiven. And I offer you my life. Change me. Strengthen me. I want to live my life for you. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. And that's it. That commitment, that vow that you're going to live for Jesus. It's not easy. As you grow, things will become easier, because the first thing we say is, you know, congratulations, you're in, you're one of, you know, you're a child of God. Now you got to find a church. Okay. Find a church, find a pastor. And you know what? You may have to try a few, and that's okay. You know, churches are different. How they present the gospel shouldn't be. You should be able to take your Bible and confirm, okay, these are the beliefs. Read along in church. Sometimes you're going to like your pastor. Sometimes you're not. I mean, as long as you agree on the salvation of Jesus and the basic beliefs that come out of the Bible, I think you're good. But, you know, if you go to one church, maybe you've outgrown it. Maybe they've outgrown you. Maybe there's just a change in me. It's okay to change churches. What you're doing is involving yourself with a community. That's very important, a Christian community. Meet with a pastor or minister knowing that you're new to the faith. They'll probably talk to you about discipleship, which is reading your Bible, which is praying, which is also getting involved in a ministry, whether it's you know, food or things. It's cold now, you know, getting clothing out to the homeless. It could be missions. It could be another country. It could be just in your community. Whatever it is, get involved in your community. This is a great time to go to the food bank and help get these foods out. We have celebrations in our homes, and not a lot of people get to celebrate. So being able to help people celebrate these holidays and these times of family is a great step. I know there's a lot of churches that do Thanksgiving dinners and Christmas dinners, and there's a lot that needs to get done. That there's food to be donated. There's food that needs to be cooked and prepared, and then food delivered. A lot of different churches do a lot of different things for their community. So get involved. Perfect opportunity now. And every time, every part of the year. And continue to read your Bible. Take time out to pray. Your life is changed forever, because now as you grow, you're going to start seeing things in your life that need to be weeded, and other things that need to be watered and fed to grow. It's not overnight. You know, we can't grow this beautiful garden overnight. We have to pick the weeds. New weeds come up. And that's what this journey is about. And reading God's word and praying is finding out the Holy Spirit telling you, yeah, you need to work on this right now. Don't worry about that, but let's work on this one. And then as you grow and you get that going, you're going to keep changing and keep growing. And that's what this journey is. It's a journey. And we never reach perfection, because there's always going to be something that works great. And you get the garden going and you tend over here, and maybe sometimes new weeds come back over here or new ones pop up over there. It happens. And that's the beauty of this. Is this is going to be, it's not a lifelong struggle. It's a lifelong journey of growing and getting new perspective, getting God's perspective. It's hard, but it's worth the work. And I really think, you know, when we learn to have joy in God and gratitude, you know, I think that really changes the things that happen to us and how we deal with them. Not always easy, but with Jesus, you can get through it. Because if we can get through, you know, there's an old saying that God will never give you more than you can handle. That's absolutely wrong. If anybody ever tells you that, you know, that's just not right. God is going to give you more than you can handle, because we need God. We need him in our life. And he gets us through those battles that we can't handle by ourselves. He gives people in our community around us to pick us up when we're down and to get us through the storm so that we can be that person that picks up the next one in their storm. It could be the same storm or very similar. So words of encouragement, prayers for encouragement as well. We're on this journey together, and I am glad that we get to do it as the Leap of Faith community. Let us know, hey, was this the day, or is this a recommitment, or is this is why you're feeling good, or this is why you're feeling down. You can email us, Lorraine@leapoffaithpodcast.org, Jeremiah@leapoffaithpodcast.org. You can comment on any of our posts, and you can send us messages through Instagram and Facebook. Like this is it, you know, reach out to us. We want to celebrate the mountains and celebrate the victories, and we want to be there with you when the lows hit and when the battles are tough. We're all put here for a reason, and we may not have the right answer, but somebody out there will have the wisdom of God. So if you like podcasts, there's other podcasts out there. There's people to follow on Facebook and Instagram and TikTok. There's so much out there now that's bad, but there's so much out there that's good. You just have to look a little bit harder. So if you're into those social medias, you know, we're on a couple of platforms. There are many other people on other platforms that you can also learn from as well. So I was able to get this done today. I'm very, very excited that the Lord allowed me to come back, finish up Judges. We'll pick up Ruth tomorrow, and we'll start reading through Ruth, which is actually another great, oh man, it's just great stuff. We get a lot of good stuff out of Ruth about who we are as humans and how we perceive women and see that there are very strong women in the Bible, strong in their faith, strong in their conviction, and able to teach that as well. So great chapters coming up. I love you. I'm so glad you're here with us, and I will see you next time, and you'll see Lorraine here tomorrow. Have a blessed day. Have a blessed week.